Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
At forward, number five, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number nine, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi. Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Shope.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo. From Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
That is right. Live at 716. This is the Shope of the Bulldog Show. Once again, minus one half of your fearless duo here. Mike is home with a couple of sick kids. So I am here at 716. I am the Bulldog. Thank you for tuning us in. We have a Saber game to get you ready for. Really, that's just a way of saying we've got our normal hockey game day schedule, which means Paul Hamilton at 3:30 and Rob Ray at 4. Like, I don't know about getting you ready for this game. I think people are more inclined to, at this point, just get ready and be ready for the season to end and see what happens in the draft lottery and recalibrate to going, oh, good, New Jersey got an empty net goal. That means they're going to win, so they're 2 points closer to me, which is something that happened to me last night. It's the first time this year that I had that thought about the standings and the bottom of the standings, but it's gotten that bad. The Sabres are still in 28th place, but the Devils can pass them. Like, that could happen. I'm just telling you. Like, that's possible. I don't know that, you know, you want to root for that openly or anything. Like, I know how that all went. It drove me nuts 4 years ago, but nonetheless, that's where we are. So, I don't know, getting you ready for the hockey game. You know, that's an awkward way to put it, I guess. It was sloppy of me. I'm just starting out. I just got back from Des Moines. Sorry, Joe, you weren't here yesterday. That was a frequent excuse whenever I made one of my many mistakes yesterday. I just got back from Des Moines.
I don't know if you can carry that over into day number two, though.
I'm going to try. We'll see. I mean, well, you guys out there, you, Joe, back there in Amherst at our studios, and the audience will have to be the judge of that, whether or not it holds up for a second day. We'll also get Sal Capaccio on at 5 o'clock. He just dropped his first mock draft of the year, and my sense is that fans are going to like this mock draft. I think he's got through pick 40, so the Bills' second-round pick is represented there. And I think if you go to WGR550.com and click on it, I think you're going to like it, unless you have your heart set on the Bills using the first pick they have, the ninth overall pick, on a wide receiver, in which case maybe you'll hate it. Whatever. Someone, of course, is going to hate it because people hate everything. Some people, anyway, hate everything. And someone probably thinks it's stupid to draft Ed Oliver, which is what Sal thinks the Bills are going to do at 9. Or that's what he's mocking to them anyway. We'll see how much that changes over time. But so that's the layout. Paul Hamilton, 3:30. Rob at 4 here at 716 with me. And then Sal at 5, pregame at 6. And puck drop at 7. And, I mean, I don't even know really where to... Well, I know where I want to get to with the conversation about the Sabres. You know, it'd be easy to, like, for one thing, just think about what it's going to look like and be like in there tonight after this recent stretch of games. But, you know, I feel like we've done that a lot already. I could think to talk about what Phil Housley had to say today on the morning show, and you can hear that for yourself at WGR550.com if you like. I don't advise hanging on to anything he really has to say at this point. I mean, I listened to the whole thing start to finish, and I just felt – I know it was awkward, right? I don't know what's going to happen to Phil Housley. I know that they've won one of their last 15 hockey games, and that, you know, they've had just a horrid, horrid second half of the season. 1 out of 15, though, is like, I don't know, that feels like a new awful way to talk about how bad it's gotten. Like 1 out of 15, as opposed to, what was it, like 14 out of 49 or something since the winning streak ended. I feel like 1 out of 15 is the worst you could do. And they don't have a regulation win since, I think it's the 23rd of February when they beat Washington. So, I mean, it is just spiraled. So, Housley talking about how good the room is and how they've been in games and stuff. And, you know, like, look, I think much like I talked yesterday a few different times about how if you're watching these games right now, like the last 3, 4, 5 Sabres games, and that is how you are answering the question of what they need, what needs to change. I think, in my opinion, I mean, everybody can do it however they want. I think you're doing it wrong. Like this, there are good hockey players on this team. There are good hockey players who can be part of a good hockey team on this team. Right now, it's just about as bad a situation as I think you can have, because they have won one of their last 15 games, and the season has just completely gotten away from them. And I don't think it would be right to make any judgment at all on anybody that you think is of value based on how they're playing right now. I look, that's not to say that it should be acceptable for guys to sort of check out, or not sort of check out, maybe just completely definitively check out. But I think it happens, and I think it is something that has happened. And I think that there are good guys and good players who will be part of good Sabres teams that are in an awful spot right now. And I don't think it's useful at all to like study these games in any earnest way and draw any conclusions on what you're watching. Because, I mean, they're playing out the string, and that's ugly, and fans are paying money, and the mood is ugly, and, like, there's a lot of validity to any argument that you'd make about how, you know, how intolerable that all of that is. But I think at the end of it, you just strip all that away and go, I'm getting nothing out of this. And so I would hope, I mean, I don't know, maybe Jason Bottrell's doing it differently, but I don't think these games serve any purpose in trying to figure out how to proceed. I think the body of work that this team has put on the board since, you know, I don't know, where do you want the line? You want the line of demarcation right when the win streak stopped? You don't have the line of demarcation after the All-Star break and the bye week, wherever you want to put it. Like their body of work over a chunk of games, over 50 games, is horrendous enough that you should be able to, within that, like, make your judgments. These games now, where you can't be sure what kind of price anyone's willing to pay anymore, I don't think it's productive to draw any conclusions. And one of the reasons why I say that is because I would like to consider how we'd be feeling if they had squeezed out 3 wins. I know. Imagine 3 wins in a row. They haven't won 2 games in a row since early December. They haven't won 2 games in regulation in a row since before Halloween. But, like, if they had won, what were the last 3 games here? Columbus, Ottawa was in there, Detroit, whatever. I just got back from Des Moines. See, Joe? That worked.
It worked.
I think that
there,
worked.
But it worked there because you're going into the past tense.
Right. Well, still, whatever. Yeah, those are the last three. No, those are the last four games. Ottawa, Detroit, Islanders. I forgot the Islanders.
Islanders.
Wow, that was memorable. If they'd won those four games, would we be happy right now? Would we be talking about how it's proof that the coach still has their attention or something, and that, see, it's not that bad, there was just some bad luck? Or like, no. I think if it's possible, if they had won games in a row here, at this point of the season, we'd be mad about it. I really think so, because they're meaningless, and there's no pressure. You're not playing for anything. You're playing for pride. Okay. But there's no gain or loss in the standings. There's just nothing there. It'd be utterly meaningless. And that's why I think, like, really these losses are utterly meaningless. Like, their performance almost, it doesn't matter anymore to me. They are who they are, and they're going to have to do some major things, I think, to try to get their fan base back. And it's going to start with the head coach being removed. And, like, that's what's going to have to happen. But, like, in a big picture way, I guess what I'd like to get to this afternoon, and it's going to require some participation either through Twitter or, you know, people still can call these shows if you want. It's been done, 803-0551, 888-552-550. What are we going to do now? What are they going to do? Let's just, and for the purpose of the conversation, let's just, if we can, remove the coach from a part. Like, I think they have to replace the coach. I don't see how a team that has performed like this team has performed for the amount of time it's performed can possibly keep its head coach. I just don't see it. I say it often. I can't envision a news conference where Jason Bottrell, Terry Pegula, Kim Pegula, all three of them. I mean, I don't know who's going to be at the, like, State of the Sabres news conference. I'm just guessing Phil Housley's not going to be there, because I just don't think that they can possibly. I mean, sell it is a way to put it. I think defend it is even stronger. So, but I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm just sort of assuming it, and I could be wrong about that. So rather than trade guesses or, frankly, waste time with what I think is a unanimous fan opinion about the coach being replaced, let's just leave him out of it. If you want to assume he's getting replaced like I am, great. If you want to assume maybe he's staying, okay, fine. What needs to happen to the roster? Like, you got a good idea? What needs to be done? I've got here's where I'm at. This is the fun part of the hockey season in Buffalo. I've been looking at the potential unrestricted free agent lists. It's funny, Jeff Skinner's right near the top of that list. That still is sitting out there, and that's still worth talking about. But is there an idea out there that appeals to you? Aside from, and look, I want to leave some stuff by the side of the road. You know, there was some ridiculous ideas that came to us yesterday that I don't think at all represent the majority of the fan base. So, you know, look, that's not to say that this team getting more size or some toughness to go along with skill would be a bad thing. Like, I'm all for that. I just don't think it's the thing I put at the top of my list. Like, I don't think the thing that is ailing the Sabres is that they're not mean enough. Could they be meaner? Yeah. Would I like them to be meaner? Yeah. Is it a priority? No. For me, I would not prioritize that. You know, if it fits in somewhere, if you can find people who are capable of playing at a reasonably high level skill-wise, that are bigger than guys I've got on the team right now, great. But one of the things that I think is important to remember when you sort of fall into that is that I think one of the hardest guys on the team to play against is Jeff Skinner. And Jeff Skinner is not some big rough and tumble guy. Jeff Skinner was a figure skater as a teenager. Jeff Skinner plays, to me, he doesn't play a hard game physically. Like, he's not punishing people physically, but he plays a hard enough game that he's I think, hard to defend. He's a pain in the you-know-what to play against. And I need more of that. I need more players like that. So I don't want to put it into a size, a height, and weight package, because there are all kinds of guys in all kinds of different body types that are, you know, there are big guys that are easy to play against. Tage Thompson, real hard to play against? He's 6'6". Big deal. So, like, size and toughness and grit and these things, they have their place. So what are we going to do? I want to try to have somewhat of a constructive, excuse me, sorry about that, conversation about where we're going. Like, I feel like the frustration that we've been expressing for weeks now, I don't think it's over, but I don't know. I'm a little worn out, you know? I don't really feel like screaming about how bad this has been. Like, to me, the score is on the board, and I'm not being lazy about this. Like, this is my job. I try to do the best job I can. And to me right now, the best job I can do feels like, how does this get better? Like, what are we gonna do? What is Jason Bottrell, assuming he has a job, what is he gonna do to get this thing going in the right direction? That's where I'm at. And so that can be free agents, that can be trade ideas, that can be, I mean, you know, the Rochester guys having a more prominent role, whatever you want to do, all right? But I don't want to dwell on what Housley said today, because what Housley said today is as meaningless as how the team played on Sunday night to me. I just don't I don't know what these people are supposed to say anymore, given the situation they're in. So I don't think it's really useful to dwell on that. It feels like minutia at this point. We did plenty of that during the season, and it has its time and place. Like going for deep dives on what Housley is saying and what does it mean, how meaningful is it? To me, he's done, and how he answers questions about their shot mentality, I mean, I'm shot. My shot mentality is I'm shot. I just can't invest in it anymore. So that's me. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Let's fire it up here. Colin is first up this segment. Hi, Colin. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hi, Bulldog. Thanks for letting me on. I totally understand your frustration. The reason why I called is I feel that there's just a simple lack of communication between how the key pieces our players feel with the current state of Phil Housley and Bottrell. I think that Terry should sit down with the players and kind of get a feel of what they think needs to happen, because, quite frankly, it looks like they don't even want to play anymore for this guy. And it's just been downhill ever since. I think that, like, the guy that you guys always have on, I forget his last name, his name's Travis. I think he gives great points. I think that we do need to move some of our bottom six guys that have been on this team for just too long and just have been a part of all the losing years that we've had, like Gergensen's, Larson. Like, I love those guys on the penalty kill, but they're just not producing for us. I think that you need to move these guys and trade them for late picks, or just simply release them, get rid of their contracts, and add on new pieces, and then bring up the young guys. Like, a lot of this stuff is just so glaringly obvious, it amazes me. Like, me and my friends talk every day about how we could be managing this team and do a better job of what's going on. I understand building Rochester, but I don't know. I just saw that, you know, we were on that 10-game win streak. I don't like to harp on it too much, but I saw a lot of potential in that team, and I just think we needed to move a few pieces, and that didn't happen come trade deadline time. We still haven't signed Skinner. I mean, it's just a mess at this point. And I just think heads should be rolling and they're not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just frustrated and upset with it.
Yeah, Colin, thank you for the call. I mean, there's so much there that you know, the opportunity to do something about the roster that was available, you know, through a trade. To try, hey, look, I don't know. Like, Charlie Coyle was one idea. Like, so is Charlie Coyle on this team? And like, how different is this team? I mean, I don't know. Could they have stayed in the playoff race? Ah, that seems like a lot to say about a player who's just, you know, he's a guy. You know, he's a guy in the league. He's all right. He would have been maybe a reasonable replacement for what the Sabres were thinking they were going to get with Patrick Berglund, which is why I liked the idea, because Patrick Berglund packed up his stuff and went home. And so you were counting on him, and then he wasn't there anymore, and you didn't do anything to try to change that, to try to replace him. That is where, to me, you have to start with the offseason and the answer to the question, what are we going to do now? What are they going to do now? To me, despite still being optimistic about Casey Mittelstadt as a good NHL player, eventually, with the way this year has gone, I am done with the idea of just crossing my fingers and toes and hoping he turns into someone who produces 50 points next year. If he does in a lesser role because I've made a decision to bring in something more proven to put behind Jack Eichel in the lineup, then great. But the biggest mistake they can make, I think, going into this offseason is to just go, well, he had a year of development, and we think there's positive signs there, and therefore it will just happen. Now, we just watched 4 months of that, and it never really happened. And that doesn't mean the guy won't eventually be what you want him to be, but you've got to go make a move. And, like, the easy idea there is to go sign Matt Duchene, I suppose, who's going to be a free agent. I don't love that idea. I think a trade, I've mentioned this idea a few times, and it's really only an idea. It's a relatively nameless idea, but it's the reverse of the Ryan O'Reilly trade. I've got to go find a guy who's around that age. I don't care if he's under, he can have the exact same contract Ryan O'Reilly had. And I have to go find that player, and I have to find a way to entice a team to trade him to me by giving up enough stuff of value to have them take a couple of these dog contracts off my hands. Just like I had to take Berglund and Sabaka when I traded Ryan O'Reilly. I have to do that trade in reverse. And the second first-round pick, which will be somewhere in the 20s there, is, to me, a piece in that. And I think Rasmus Ristolainen, so it's not entirely nameless. I think Rasmus Ristolainen is a piece in that. And then whatever else I have to, there's got to be a Tage Thompson piece in there, right? You know, like the O'Reilly trade. And that's the trade. That's the move. I have to find a guy so that I'm not counting on Casey Mittelstadt to be the guy who saves me, that my season hinges on. They did that this year, and it didn't work. And that's not, you know, it's not entirely Casey Mittelstadt's fault. He was playing high school hockey 2 years ago at this time. It's a lot to ask. I still am bullish on him, but I can't count on it right now. And so that's, to me, that's job one. All right, good start. We'll dip in and out of this conversation as we go through the afternoon. I mean, at least hopefully. We've got our usual hockey game night lineup here, so that means Paul Hamilton's coming up dead ahead. Rob Ray at 4. We'll get some football in with Sal Capaccio at 5. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schopp has the day off. I'm live at 716. This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
The Brady thing, it just it's like having Paul Hamilton call the show.
With Mike Schopp and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Paul Hamilton is on the Wester Hotline, waiting for his game day appearance here, and it's brought to you by Losey and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys. working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. I am the Bulldog live at 716 Sabres and Predators tonight at 7. Mike Schoep, by the way, has the day off today. Paul, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I am just great.
Welcome back from your trek to Iowa.
Thank you. I told you this when I called. Paul was on my call list, mainly because I drove through Ames, and that's where Iowa State, and Paul's a former Cyclone. And Paul, I didn't get a picture of this because I didn't want to be like a weirdo and be like, you know, stalking the bus that my kid was riding on. But it turns out I found this out after I got home. I saw the bus, but I wasn't sure it was theirs. They were riding in an Iowa State Cyclones bus. They must be on loan from at some part of the season or whatever. It's a bus that they normally use. But they went from Des Moines to Dubuque in an Iowa State Cyclones bus. Like the school colors and everything, big logo on the side. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I spent a lot of hours. Probably not on that bus.
No, probably not. No.
By now, they probably have changed it out. But a bus similar to that.
I sure hope so, Paul. For safety's
sake. You're on your way to Des Moines to go get your kid.
Right. You're riding around on the Hamilton bus? No. It's good to be back. Thanks. Ames. There was weird. There was no sign on the side of the road saying Paul Hamilton once played here. I was disappointed.
It must have gotten a hit or something in a snowstorm. Somebody must have hit it and knocked it down or something like that. At Des Moines Ice Arena, we used to play a game a year there, or a series a year there. So, and the ice would go in there early. So if we wanted to skate, early in September, we sometimes had to practice there now and then. But same building.
Yeah. The Buccaneers home arena has a lot of character. Like it has been around, and it's super cool in there, and it's a super fun thing to be a part of for my son, for sure. Paul, this is not super fun. I don't know how much you and I talked about an hour ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of what you said to me then you want to say on the air. So I don't want to overstep or put you
I'm almost
out.
To a point I don't remember what I said.
Well,
that was just an hour ago, Bulldog. Right. Come on.
I'll say this much, and then you can do what you think is right. You all the time, Paul, through all these seasons, this will be, since 2011, they've not made the playoffs, but you never get tired of hockey season. Even when these seasons just sort of drag on and the games are meaningless, like you love to be, you're the guy that likes to be in the press box at the game day skate, down on the bench, talking to the player. You love being around the game. You love the game. And you told me, like, you've said many times that you get sad when the ice comes out. And this season has really kind of worn you out.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I'm the guy in August who I can't wait for the Sabres to start showing up at the arena so I can get down there and watch shinny hockey and talk to some guys. And, by that time, I'm usually ready to get away from the football team, and all they've done is training camp. So, I'm that guy. But this is the first time ever that I can't wait for the season to end. It just has finally gotten to me. And I'm not complaining, folks. I have the best job in the world. I mean, don't anybody get crazy that, poor Paul. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm not out digging ditches. I don't even call this a job. But, I'm just saying this. The way this has gone down in the last month has just gotten to me. And, I'm not sad that it's going to end. And I always am. I'm always like, oh, darn, there's no playoffs and the hockey's gone. And now I got to watch other teams. And I'd rather watch the team I cover. And this has never happened before.
Do you think that is, it might be some of a few things, cumulative? I mean, given that it is, it's been 8 years since this team played a postseason game. Like, that's a long time. You've got like last place seasons, with intent, on the scorecard here. You've got last place seasons by accident. And then you've got this year. Or is there something in particular about what's gone on over the last, 20 games or so that has changed for you?
I can't stomach athletes mailing it in. I just can't. And not everybody has. I don't want to put that label on everybody in the locker room. I admire Jake McCabe. I admire the fight that he has and the fight he had after the game the other night. and how angry he is to be a part of something like this once again. But still, you know, he'll defend his teammates to the hilt, and he has a lot of passion, and I wish that fire that he has in his belly would rub off on some of these guys. That's the thing I just can't. I mean, in Ottawa, that was a complete and utter no-show. Long Island was pretty much a complete and utter no-show, and that's what I can't tolerate, and I can't watch that. And it bothers me more than I can say. It was better the other night at home. I will say that. You still didn't score. I mean, what's our standard here? It was better in a 4-0 game, but it was. At least some folks showed up and put forth some effort. But, there have been too many nights where, you know, Denver was another one, where I'm just sitting there going, this is unacceptable. This non-effort stuff is absolutely unacceptable, and I hope it's unacceptable to the ownership and the management of this hockey team.
Paul, is there – when you're watching these games, and I think watching them up close in person or even, you know, at distance from the press box, but in person is maybe a better way to do this. I guess what I'm saying, like, I look at shot totals, and I can see how the game is going – but I have a hard time watching players in the midst of shifts and seeing things that they're doing that indicate that they're not putting forth a maximum effort. I'm wondering if there are things that you see that are clues to that, or is it more just the result is it speaks for itself? They're getting, you know, they're hemmed in their own end, they're getting dominated, they're not winning any one-on-one battles. Like, what are the clues to a team that is mailing it in?
They don't even get to the battle. They turn off. They turn off the battle and don't even engage in it. They don't skate hard back. They quit skating hard back. They might start skating hard back, and then they quit on the back check. They cheat the zone offensively. All of a sudden they take off when and next thing you know they're up in the at the red line hoping that some way in the NHL, mind you, that some stretch pass is going to get to them and they're going to wind up with a breakaway. Those are the types of things, you know, not helping out a teammate when a teammate needs to be helped out. Rodriguez got plastered against the boards. He finished that game but then missed the next two. Nobody batted an eye. I mean, it's just those are the types of things that I just can't handle watching.
Paul Hamilton is on the Western Hotline. Sabres and Nashville Predators tonight at 7, pregame at 6. Rob Ray will be here in about 20 minutes for his game day visit at 7-1-6. So how much of that, Paul, traces to, like, have they quit on themselves? Are they quitting on this coach? What can we learn from how they're handling this final month of the season?
I don't know. I don't think anybody sits there, even whether they like a coach or they don't like a coach, I don't think they sit in a locker room and said, I'm going to loaf tonight so I can get this coach fired. I really don't think anybody sits and thinks about that. You might not be real motivated to go out and play your best game, and maybe that's why you might turn off a battle or something like that, but I don't think anybody, they sit there in a circle and, all right, guys, let's play like this, and let's get this guy fired, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
I know that doesn't go on. And Jack Eichel was very passionate in his comments the other night in Long Island. When it was brought up, have you guys quit on Phil Housley? He goes, absolutely. He goes, why would you blame Phil Housley for this? He's not on the ice. He's not playing the game. It's totally on us. It's on me. It's on everybody in this locker room. It's not on Phil Housley. He's not out here playing. You know, and he was pretty passionate in his remarks about that. I don't want people to think that the players just sit there and go, okay, we're going to quit on Phil, and we're just going to go out here and do absolutely nothing.
Right. So what is it? Is it just hope is gone? Is it like peer pressure is not the right word, but like is it hard to be the guy that's laying it on the line when too many guys around you aren't? So it's just like a pack mentality. Like what do you think happens when you get enough guys that it's noticeable that a team just isn't giving what they should be giving?
I think some of these players might have gotten to the point I've gotten to. Some of these players have never won. They have been in. They have done horrendous losing since they've been in the National Hockey League. Gergensen, Larson, Ristolainen. I'm missing a bunch. You know that all they've done is lost and lost big. You know they haven't. You know, this year at least we could have a conversation about the playoffs in February. Now we should have been having it all through the season. And not kind of having a conversation in February just to maybe keep the conversation going, but you really knew they weren't in it.
Right.
You know, so they might just be worn out. Some of them might be worn out being a Sabre. You know, it's just like, I am so tired of this black cloud that, you know, they deserve to be booed off the ice, but nobody wants that. And it's just this negative black cloud that they've created themselves. I'm not blaming fans or anybody else. They've created this themselves, but some of them just might go, this has to stop. And right. They're not doing anything to stop it. Maybe they're just hoping they'll go somewhere else to play their career.
Yeah.
But I hate to tell some of these guys somewhere else could be in the AHL or Europe.
Yeah, I mean, I really wonder, Paul. Like, I don't know if you happen to tune into the very top of the show. Like I've you know, done my fair share here of the bloodletting about the season and about Phil Housley and about the lineup choices and like just all the stuff, right? And I'm you know, the season is almost over. This is the last full week of the regular season. The season ends on Saturday, and there will be a long off season to ponder like what needs to be done. But I'm already. I'm done, like, sort of moaning about what's wrong. What can I do? You know, like, what's the way forward is what I'm going to be thinking about here. And I don't know what the future of the coach is going to be. I continue to think it will be, I mean, I don't want to say impossible, but it's just, it's very challenging to me to imagine a news conference where he's sitting there with Jason Bottrell and they're talking about the way forward together because they've won one of their last 15 hockey games. But beyond the coach, you know, like how drastic can an overhaul of the roster be a season after they traded away Ryan O'Reilly?
It has to be drastic. Now, I was, after listening yesterday, I've been researching goons and fighters because I know that's the way to go. But
thanks, Paul. Thanks for helping us all remember a real show highlight from yesterday.
And the guy misrepresented me, and Mike, for some reason, swallowed a hook, line, and sinker, but that's another story. But what I was trying to get at was, and I've actually asked to see how you handle something like that. And what I had said was that how teams are getting Lawrence Pilot off his game is they're hitting him and hitting him hard. And he's never had to really experience it like that where people are really coming after him, and you can tell he doesn't want to get hit. And that's when he turns the puck over, is when he's trying to sidestep a hit that he doesn't want to get hit. But I've been actually asking people, you know, like guys who have played the game in practice, how did you guys handle that to help a guy through that? Because that it doesn't mean he can't get through it.
Right.
At least in Dahlin's case, Dahlin will fight back. He gave up a goal about a week ago where he was afraid to get hit, and then he gave the puck away, and it wound up in the net. But he at least fights back a little bit. I'm not real worried about it. He'll when his body gets more developed and that kind of thing, I think he'll be fine. But Pilot's a little bit older, and I said, how do you guys handle that? Do you guys in practice, like, go in the corner and give him a little extra shove or something like that? And one guy, a little bit. Sometimes all they have to do is realize that they're not going to get hurt. And they'll be shown the way to be able to get out of the way of that hit and still be able to make a play. You know how they say take a hit to make a play?
Yep, yep.
But that you don't take a big hit, that you wind up plastered against the wall. So I'm not extremely worried about it, but I wanted to ask about it. How do you guys handle that? And how do guys handle it as they move forward? So that was the point of it. It wasn't like right. This guy's awful because you know, and that's how it was. That's how it was
scared,
portrayed.
He's a coward.
Yeah, whatever. That's how it was portrayed.
Right. I appreciate you clarifying that. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like the way it was handled on the air because it didn't make me sound good, and I just wanted to clarify it.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I think that's a part of learning how to play in the NHL. That's a part of learning how to play at any level that's up from the level you're coming. Is you know, how to handle, you know, the physicality of it. The league is not what it once was in that way, but I think it is still something different from, say, the Swedish Elite League, which is where Pilot came from.
Well, that's how they figured out Pilot. Pilot's not playing anywhere near as good as he did when he first came up, and that's why people are coming at him and they're hitting him and they're hitting him and hitting him. And that doesn't mean you bring up goons and fighters. Dude, and the thing is, yes, the team needs to get tougher. Is that the number one thing they need to address in the offseason? My God, no. I mean, they need to get more talent on this team. I think that's the last thing on your list when you're addressing the problems. It's like, all right, we need to get more talent. Once you have a talented team and a pretty good team, then you can say to yourself, all right, let's find some guy who can kind of play the game a little bit,
right,
and maybe can toughen us up a little bit and help us that way. But it's not even close to being the first thing that you're looking at when you go into the off season.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot for this. I kept you even a little longer than normal, and I've got you on double duty here because we'll have you at the top of pregame as well. So thank you for all this.
Okay, sounds good.
That is our man Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearance here this afternoon brought to you, as always, by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys. Working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We'll take a timeout. Rob Ray coming up in about 15 minutes. Should have time for a call or two in between then and now. So if you're inclined, feel free. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Live from 716, Sabres and Predators tonight at 7. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
They're 1-2, I think, pretty much for everybody right now. I'd say that it's not quite 1A, 1B. I guess it depends on who you talk to. It's not 1A, 1B for me. It's still Jack Hughes at the top and Kaapo Kakko at number 2. But I think the gap started off very large coming into the season and is narrowed as the season has gone on. It's kind of reminiscent of what happened during Auston Matthews' draft year with Patrick Laine chasing him and then having a great second half of the season, and everybody kind of opened their eyes and said, okay, this kid's special.
That is Chris Peters, ESPN.com. He was on our morning show today talking about the NHL draft. The draft lottery is
a week from today.
Right, next Tuesday. Right. It's you know, a couple of weeks earlier than it normally has been. So we'll find out at that point what where the Sabres are going to pick. Let's squeeze in a call. We'll get James on here on WGR before Rob Ray comes in and ruins everything.
Good morning.
James, how are you? You're on WGR.
Good afternoon, Bulldog. Bulldog, I'm going to talk big picture, if you don't mind, because to me this goes way beyond the coach. 8 years of missing the playoffs. It's unacceptable. I want to ask you this. First of all, two questions on this one. Number one, does this happen, this kind of ineptness happen during the Golisano years? I mean, this is mid-80s when the Sabres were out of the playoffs. This is worse. This is a mess. I don't know if this happens during the Golisano years, number one. Secondly, on the Ryan O'Reilly trade, did the Ryan O'Reilly trade need to be made? What was it that he said that wasn't right?
I'll try both of those, James, real quick, because I'm up against time here. There's no way to know what would have happened. Could this have happened under Tom Golisano? I mean, I don't know. They were excellent at the front end of that, and you know, things deteriorated, but it never got like this. So. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Darcy Regier started down the road to tearing down everything a couple of years into Terry Pegula's ownership, and they had tried to add free agents and bolster the team. I think the thing that pushed Darcy Regier to that infamous suffering news conference was trying to sign both Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, like the Minnesota Wild did. The Sabres, it was always my understanding, were in that, and in that to win that, and they could not get those players to come here. And I think at that point, Darcy sort of threw the towel in on supplementing the group that was here and decided that it was time to trade those guys away for future assets and start over. And so he started that process, and, of course, didn't see it through. He traded Thomas Vanek, and I think that was his last significant move of import, and then everything changed. So, I mean, I don't know how to answer that, the first part of that question. To me, O'Reilly stood in front of the media, I'm sure fully aware of the fact that his GM had tried to trade him or engaged in trade talks with him, about him in the winter, and he, to me, all but said, get me out of here, with how he spoke. So that doesn't mean you had to do it, but he said, I need to get out of here. And the Sabres granted his wish. So, look, could they use that player on their team? Yeah. I mean, obviously. But it should be pointed out that he was here last year and they finished last. So they had to do something. They did that. It has not worked. I mean, that's undeniable. He's having his career best season in St. Louis, and the Sabres are going to be a good chance to have a top five pick in the lottery again. So, you know, the proof is undeniably that it was bad. But I understand why they got there. I mean, it made a lot of sense to me. That they had to do something, and that was what they chose, and it has blown up in their faces. Thank you for the call, James. Rob Ray, straight ahead on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.